Well, we're doing Transformed, 6 weeks, looking at different areas of our lives that we need transformation in. We've looked at spiritual health, we looked at physical health, and today we're looking at mental health. And if you heard the news this morning, Prince William was on the radio urging fathers to discuss mental health with their children. So I don't know if we have the royal approval for today's sermon, but I'll give him a name check anyway. But mental health is an issue. It used to be a taboo, but hopefully these days it's not a taboo and it affects so many families. And even if you're not affected, you probably know someone who is. And even if you consider yourself to have good mental health, there's a good chance you've come with a lot of stuff anyway. Have a look at this.
Life is full of stuff to deal with. Good stuff and bad stuff and everything in between. Your boss, your ex, your bills, the in-laws, the rent, the car, the kids, your marriage, working the DVR, school, health, stress, getting enough food, enough rest, enough credit, enough money, relationships, baggage, hurts, abuse, divorce, hang-ups, childhood, teachers, parents, insomnia, interest rates, traffic cameras, winning and losing, running out of soap, out of cash, out of time, out of hope. Sound familiar? Or should I keep going? Do you feel tired, shortchanged, alone? Do you think that you're the only one with this stuff? Everyone around you has stuff. Some is different. Some is the same as yours. But everyone is dealing with all of their stuff. What does it mean? Why all the stuff? Is God mad at you? Or are you just bad at this? Turns out it's neither. All this trouble with your stuff only makes you normal. Nobody can do this. Everyone has stuff that makes them a mess. Nobody has it together. We act like we do, but none of us are really fooling anyone, because it seems easier than talking, than listening, than helping, than really knowing each other. Nobody can do this alone. We need God and we need each other. So how about we all agree to stop pretending? Everybody already knows anyway. And after all, it's just stuff.
I don't know if you recognise the face on the screen. Colin is the man tied up in chains, and it's a very old picture. He was born Eric Weiss on March the 24th, 1874, in Budapest, Hungary. As a kid, he moved to America with his family and changed his name to Harry Houdini. And he became, if not one of the greatest illusionists, performing daring and spectacular escapes. And of course his acts made him famous. You can still YouTube and find clips of him, some very old footage on the internet. He set a challenge that no cell, no straitjacket, no chains could ever hold him. And again he broke free from whatever prison he found himself in. But one time it went wrong. Houdini entered a jail cell in his street clothes. The heavy metal doors clanged behind him. He took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, strong and flexible. He set to work immediately. But something seemed unusual about this lock. For 30 minutes he tried to pick the lock and got nowhere. An hour passed. He still had not opened the door. The sweat was pouring from him. He was panting in expiration. But he still could not pick that lock. Finally, 2 hours later, he collapsed in frustration. He leant back against the door, which swung open. It had never been locked. It had never been locked. Now here's the point. In his mind, it was a locked door. And that was all it took to keep him from opening the door and finding freedom. Now, according to research and statistics, as high as 1 people in 3 experience some kind of mental health issues. Now, don't miss that. 1 in 3. So think of the person either side of you. If it's not them, it's you. All right? According to statistics. Well, you're a lost cause on your own there, Colin. Every person has mental health just like they have physical health. Both mental health and physical health change throughout our lives. Just as you may be fit one year but unfit the following year, so you may have good mental health one year, but you may have problems that you struggle with the following year. And mental health problems are more common than all of us think. We probably all know someone who is affected in this area. And the effects are as real as a broken arm, even though that person isn't in a sling or plastered up or shows any outward signs. Now, what is mental health? Well, the most common conditions are depression, major depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, alcohol and substance abuse, obsessive compulsive disorder. And mental health includes our emotional, physiological and social well-being. It affects how we act, how we feel and how we think. And it determines how we will handle stress, relate to others and make our choices. So mental health is an important issue. And over the course of your life, all of us, like I say, will probably experience mood changes, behaviour changes and mental health issues. And there are many factors that contribute to that. There are biological factors, such as genes or brain chemistry. There are life experiences, such as trauma or abuse. And there is family history of mental problems. Many factors contribute to mental health problems, and it affects us all far more than we realise. One of my favourite books, and I quote from it often, is Pilgrim's Progress, the classic book from Christian literature. You ought to read it at least once in your life, Pilgrim's Progress. If you can't read it, get it on audio, listen to it. It is a classic work. It is a brilliant work, written in the 17th century by John Bunyan when he was in prison. Brilliant work. The main character, of course, is a guy called Christian, and he's on his journey to the celestial city, what we would call heaven. As he journeys, he comes across various obstacles, hindrances, problems of the Christian life. One such place he comes across is called the Slough of Despond, where pilgrims find themselves sinking in the mud. They want to progress, but things are pulling them back. Pilgrim carries a burden on his back, a giant rucksack. And different pilgrims who are travelling with him all have different sized burdens. And of course, the bigger your burden, the faster you sink in the Slough of Despond. And Christian is slinking. He's got a problem until a man called Help comes along. And Help represents the Holy Spirit. Christian asks Help why this place has never been fixed, so that the journey might be easier and more secure for other pilgrims. Help responds, this place cannot be mended. The point being that places like these are inevitable. And no matter how mature we are, no one is immune to these places. But these places cannot be mended, only travel through. And for some people, that travelling lasts a long time. Now, as you can see from that classic story, it is not by our own efforts we get through times of despair. In the book, it's the help of another, the Holy Spirit. In life, the lesson applies. We will not get through mental health problems on our own. Some people need medication to cope with their mental health problems. Others need the assistance of professionals, counsellors, who have insight and wisdom to share. Everyone needs a support network of friends, of family, of church. And with those additional supports, the journey might be tough, the slough might be deep, we can press on, we can move forward. Now, this session isn't going to look at depression. It isn't going to look at OCD or any of those kind of issues. You need experts. I'm not an expert. But as Christians, we gain our own mental health issues. There are things that will keep us mentally, spiritually healthy, and things that will make us struggle and cripple us. And that's what I want to look at this session. And the things we're going to look at, we can change. Certain mental issues you can't change. It takes time. You need expert help. You need medication. But the things we're going to look at, we're in control. We can make the choices with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can live in victory over these enemies. There's a story told of a Cherokee Indian who said to his grandson, son, he said, inside every human being is a civil war, is a battle taking place. It's between two wolves who live inside of us. One is evil, anger, envy, jealousy, greed, arrogance. The other wolf is good, peace, love, hope, humility, compassion, faith. Well, the grandson said, Dad, which wolf will win? His dad said, the one to which you feed. The one that you feed. Why? Because he'll become stronger and overcome the other wolf. Hey, if we feed our minds well, it will make a huge difference in our mental health and our stability as Christians. And in Philippians chapter 4, he gives us four areas where we can choose well and make sure we are mentally strong. First of all, he says, stand firm in the Lord. This is the foundation for all that follows. Stand firm in the Lord. It's a military expression. It's hold your position. The enemy is ahead, but we're not retreating. We're going to hold our position. We're going to stand firm. And with that as the foundation, he then gives instructions to build on. So that when the enemy attacks, we don't retreat, we're not defeated, we stand our ground and we win. So here's the first commandment, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, dear friends. And then he goes on to explain. Now, therefore is always a bridge. He's saying, in what I've said in the light of chapters 1, 2 and 3, this is how you respond. What's he said in chapters 1, 2, 3? Well, he's brought in all that Jesus has done for us. And he said, therefore you do something for him. Stand firm. Be united as God's people. We have to support one another, because if we don't, we will not win. I hope you've got one of these prayer guides. There's still some at the back. We update it every so often. Friends and members, address and prayer guides. And when someone joins the fellowship, we add them to it. Okay, either neatly or scruffily like I've done. That was a useful reference. We know people's emails, addresses, stuff like that. But it's divided up into days so that we can pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. But what do you pray? What do you pray? I love what the Apostle Paul encourages people to pray for. Do you pray that they will first and foremost stand firm? If you're thinking of praying for me, that's my number one request. Pray that I will stand firm. Let me ask you a question. Does a statue stand firm? You remember that famous one, Rodin's statue, the thinker? Does he actually think? Well, the answer is no, because they're fixed, they're passive. So the Apostle Paul is not asking us to imitate statues. Think more of a tug of war. You remember tug of war? You've got one team there and one team there, and you've got a rope, and someone is pulling, and you stand firm, you hold your position, and when they've used up all their energy, you pull, and you get the victory. That's the idea with standing firm. It's not being a statue. It's being active, it's involved in a battle. You take all they've got, and then when they've worn themselves out, you pull them in. You pull them in. You gain the victory. And my number one prayer is, I want to stand firm, what? In the Lord. Because if I lose that, I'll lose everything else. But if I keep in the Lord, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got all his promises, I've got his word, I've got his people, I've got everything to support me. So pray, and pray for one another. Use the prayer guide if you don't. Secondly, he says, stand firm in unity, verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord. Have the same attitude. Agree with each other. In this church, there was open conflict. We don't know if it was a personality clash. It may have been deep-rooted hurts, because Christians hurt one another. I can give you a whole virtually telephone directory. People have come over to me in the years and say, I left that church because so-and-so did this to me. And instead of resolving the issue, they just took it somewhere else and kept the fires stoked by gossiping about it and being angry about it and all the rest of it. Christians fall out. Christians have personality crashes. Christians upset one another. Sometimes thoughtlessly, sometimes accidentally, but we do. And there was a problem in this church. It was so bad that the Apostle Paul names them publicly. Imagine if he did that today. Let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 6. Matt Hill, I see you've just got a bit of an argument there with Nathan Burden. I was going to say Burden, but that's your brother, isn't it? Nathan Montgomery. Man, you'd all be shocked. Think of the impact. This was such a bad argument. He names them and he shames them before the congregation. Everyone knew about it anyway. Why? Because you have to deal with issues like that. We need to be united of one heart, one attitude. Don't have to be clones. We're allowed to think differently. But in the Lord, we need to look for the good of the other person. Stephen Hawking is considered one of the great thinkers of this century. He got that mantle from Albert Einstein as the great thinker. Yet, this great man can't tie his own shoelaces, can't brush his own teeth, can't comb his own hair. Even a four-year-old can brush their own teeth. A four-year-old can comb their own hair. And when they're a bit older, they can do up their shoelaces. Although looking around at youth club on a Friday night, none of them have shoelaces that tie up. But it's the fashion. Now, the reason Hawkins can't do the simple tasks a four-year-old can is his body is twisted. His body is crippled. He has Lou Gehrig's disease. And that disease causes his nerves to be disconnected from each other. So the message from his incredible brain can't travel down and be implemented by his body. Nothing wrong with the brain, but that disease has broke the communication. The New Testament makes it clear. Christ is the head of his church. There is nothing wrong with the brain. But so often his body are crippled and disjointed and his message doesn't get through. Like Lou Gehrig's disease is to the body, so is disunity amongst God's people. And it causes bad mental health. We need to support one another, not fight with one another. So he says, stand firm in unity. Thirdly, he says, stand firm in trust. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Story told of a man who walked into a pub and he saw a group of people playing cards. And what caught his attention is one of the players was a dog. In his paws, he got a full set of cards. And the man said, wow, what a dog, he can play cards. And someone at the table said, yeah, but he's not that clever. Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail. Listen, you and I should be people who wag their tails. Rejoice in the Lord. If we can't rejoice in circumstances, if we can't rejoice in relationships, if we can't rejoice in work, if we can't rejoice, we can always rejoice in the Lord, surely. That's why you've got to stand fast in the Lord, because if you lose that, you lose everything. And these verses tell us you rejoice in, make him your priority. Because the more committed you are to him, the more joy you'll have in your heart. The more committed you are to him, the more peace you will have in your mind and in your heart. Rejoice in the Lord. And it's a bit like a bicycle wheel. Those of you who have got bikes, what makes a bicycle wheel stable is the spindle, isn't it, in the middle, the hub. Take away that, even though a bicycle wheel is metal and it's got spiked spokes on it, it's a useless object. It's not going to do anything. Give it centrality, give it that spindle, becomes solid, useful. It's a wheel. It goes somewhere. It's got purpose. Take away centrality, useless. Useless. And these verses, verses 6 and 7, give us centrality. If you want good mental health, he says, one of the things you need to do, don't be anxious, don't worry about life. All the things that could happen, that probably will never happen, but you're worrying over them anyway. Do not be anxious, but in instead, pray. Someone has said, of course, why pray when you can worry? Your choice. And he says, and, there's a definite result here, and, when done the right way, when we bring our request to God, and the peace of God, the harmony, the joy, the peace of God, we can experience in our lives. And notice what he says, in every situation, what petrol is to a car, prayer is to the Christian. What food is to the body, prayer is to the soul. So he doesn't just say pray, he tells you how to pray. Prayers, petitions, thanksgivings, three different types of prayer. But for the sake of time, we'll move on to the last thing. He says, stand firm in practice. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, gives you a whole list of things to focus your mind on that are wholesome wholesome. Someone has said this, the mind is our valley of decision. It is in the mind actions are formulated and the choices are made concerning the courses of actions we will take. It's all in the mind. Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. If you could look in my mind, if you were a mind reader, if you knew some of the thoughts I've had this weekend, you wouldn't have me as your preacher. You'd want someone more holy. And do you know what? If I could read your mind, I wouldn't want to be a preacher. I'd find the congregation more holy. But this reminds us that on our own, we are wicked people. We are sinful people. We have to make choices that are right. We determine to fix our minds on things that are pure, good, right, wholesome. For good spiritual mental health. Francis Bacon said this, it is not what men eat, but what they digest that makes them strong. Not what we gain, but what we save that makes us rich. Not what we read, but what we remember that makes us learned. Not what we preach, but what we practice that makes us Christians. And so he says, towards the end of verse 9, put into practice. All I've said, do it. Put it into practice. Reap the rewards. G. Campbell Morgan's one of my favourite preachers. I've never heard him. He died many, many years ago. But you can buy his books and they'll be a blessing to you. Bless the socks off you. You'll read a Campbell Morgan book and it's like having a steak meal for your soul. It'll fill you up. And Campbell Morgan had four sons who were all preachers. And they all had good ministries. And at a family gathering, someone was a bit naughty. They said, tell me. Come here, guys. Campbell Morgan, great preacher, twice minister of Westminster Chapel, hundreds of books, all his sons in the ministry. Which one's the best preacher then? Which one's the best preacher? Straight away someone said, Mother. Mother. Do you know why? Because she puts into practice what we preach. We got the words, we got the knowledge, she's got the practice. And of course all of us need to apply truth to make it effective. So, as we conclude, mental health, well, everyone struggles with it. If you have to have medication to help, then take it. If you need to see a counsellor or an expert, go and see them. Don't struggle on your own. If you need to support a friend's family or church, make sure you get it. Don't battle on your own. But for good spiritual mental health, there are four areas here. Make sure you're right with the Lord. Make sure you're right with other Christians. Make sure you are trusting in him daily. And make sure you are putting into practice what he says. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for ourselves as a church, as a congregation. For those who are struggling with mental health issues, we want to support them in our prayers. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give great wisdom to those who are treating, those who are supporting, those who are helping them in every way. We think of the different organisations that reach out in this country. We pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to financially support and to take part in the good work they do. We think of what we heard today about spiritual health. Lord, it's all down to choices again. Help us to choose wisely, we pray. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.